The committee will come to order. A quorum is present. Representative Bowles, would you approve a minute, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the minutes of the March 4th meeting.
Representative Bowles moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Representative Severson?
Madam Chair?
And Representative Morrow, would you move House File 557?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll move that House File 557 be recommended to pass and to be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, and I appreciate the opportunity to come here. I do have an author's amendment, and I'm not sure if that's been distributed to the members yet or not.
Madam Speaker, as Representative Severson is grabbing, Representative Severson, I'll move the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. And if
Thank
I could just
you.
Take a moment to speak to the amendment.
Yes.
Lines one, this is basically a verbiage cleanup language, and Representative Newton's bill is much the same as this bill. We're cleaning the language up. It says up to 6%, so it's not 6% exclusively, and I think that's a good change. And the other changes on line 1.5, in preference, but not less than the percentage awarded to any other group of this section. So it does put them on the level playing field with minorities and women-owned companies. That's the intent of that one. And I stand for any questions on this, but I think it's just a language cleanup provision.
Are there any questions? Representative Fowles?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify that the only change between this and Representative Norton's bill, Newton's bill, is that this includes non-disabled veterans. Is that right? And his was only disabled veterans. Is that right?
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Faust. The bill itself is for this bill includes veteran-owned businesses and disabled veteran-owned businesses, so it's inclusive of both groups.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, I renew my motion to adopt the H0557A2 amendment.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity again to come before the committee. I don't want to pick up the committee's time too much. I know that we had an opportunity to speak on this last week. But I do want to just emphasize the reason for the difference between Representative Newton's bill and this particular bill, which we have been working on for a few years, came close to becoming law about 2 years ago, and state government finance made it to the final phase of negotiations. And because there was an administrative fiscal note of about $80,000 for one FTE to oversee the actual issuance of the veteran-owned business category, that has now been addressed by the federal side. This bill now talks about conformity to the federal side, of which they make the determination on the federal side to ensure that the business fits that criteria. The reason that I'm trying to keep the veteran-owned businesses in here, currently 25% of state contracts are set aside for target groups. This would be considered not that target group, but a part of the target group. Currently, of that 25%, only 3%, 3 to 5% of those contracts are awarded. There's plenty of room. There should not be competition between different business entities. In fact, there's, I think, about 130 disabled veteran-owned businesses, about 483 veteran-owned businesses, and I'm still trying to get how many small businesses there are in the state of Minnesota, but I'd venture to say there are thousands, of which they all compete for this particular phase. And setting them aside, I do not think going from 3 to 5% of that 25% quota is going to be eaten up by putting this small inclusive class in there. The reason that I'd like to see, and I think we should all consider, keeping the veterans' own businesses as a part of this provision, is we have a structure in Minnesota in our National Guard which encourages members from our civil sector to join up. And many of those, as you heard in the last testimony, many of those individuals have their own small businesses. And they put those businesses on the line when they go to activate, particularly in a time of conflict that we have now, for a year or more to go overseas and defend our country. And when they come back, often their business has suffered significantly because of their absence. And this is one of those tools that we can give them in order to say, we recognize your service and we want to make sure that we give you every advantage when you come back to be able to bid with a little bit of exception on some state contracts. The other is that individuals who have gotten out of the military have extensive experience, and I think I had talked a little bit about the two Marine colonel or Marine majors who had put together a security group and tried to get the contract with the city of St. Paul for the Republican National Convention were unable to because there were doors that were not open to them. This would help in that particular instance. And there are many other instances, I'm sure, that we can apply this. But members, what I'm asking is that these individuals step up to the plate to serve their country, whether in a reserve capacity or full-time capacity. And when they get out, oftentimes they have, in that duration of serving their country, have not been able to make the connections that that people who are living in the private sector have. And so what we're saying here is we want to give them a little bit of an advantage. We understand that they have sacrificed, and we want to recognize that sacrifice by including them into a special category that basically gives them a little more access to state government contracts. All of that is pertinent, but even more to the issue, I think, is the issue of entitlements or the ability to go after federal contracts. And when we have veteran-owned businesses, disabled veteran-owned businesses, those have special access to federal contracts. When they've gotten into the state system and improved their performance there, now they have access to federal contracts, which we are currently not utilizing, bringing billions of dollars of federal monies into the state of Minnesota. In fact, when you start to take a look at Minnesota and how hard we have been hit by this recent recession and the loss of jobs, one of the huge factors in this is because Minnesota has not aggressively gone after defense contracts. In fact, we've kind of pushed those out of the state. The people that have these businesses are people that have experience in the defense industry, are the ones that can start these contracts, they can bring these jobs to Minnesota, and they can buffer some of this recession that we're going through. So I would stand for any questions, members, and I think there's a couple people that are here to testify as well.
Are there any questions? If not, Mark Elson.
Afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm Mark Elson, the Minnesota Chapter President for the Service Disabled Veteran-Owned Business Community within Minnesota. We would just like to take a minute, and you heard me speak a couple weeks ago, but we do support this bill, and I think it's important. You'll hear potentially different frameworks of people using the word processes are in place for people that are substantially disabled, or you'll hear comments that we have processes in place, and we don't. And I'm living proof that our processes don't work in Minnesota. And it takes an amendment to the law in order to get this for these transitioning veterans. And I used the example last time, and I think it's very important, is the young 22-year-old that lost his arm who was a CNC machine operator and now wants to come back home and use his brain and buy a couple machines and then hire people. And when you come and go, as Representative Severson said, you don't establish that lifelong relationship in the business community. So you need a lift up in order to start your business and get it rolling. And all we're doing is asking that the law be amended so that we can play at the table, level playing table, and that we're treated fairly to help these young kids returning. That's all I have to say today. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Comments? Thank you. Steve Banks? Welcome, and say your name for the tape.
Stephen Banks, Madam Chair, members of the committee. You'll notice that I did wear a tie this
week. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, but Representative Morrow saw you were on the agenda, and he did not wear a tie today.
My apologies. I'd like to just put a cautionary note out around this bill, and that is this. As a service-disabled vet and doing federal government work on as a service-disabled vet on the federal side, this bill is that distinction is very, very important to my business. And I think it will be very, this bill, or the 715, which we discussed last week, will be very important for my business in Minnesota. My concern is that we have about 402,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. That's about 8% of our population. If we dilute this entitlement or this advantage to a degree, it will no longer be beneficial to anybody. So I think that Representative Severson is absolutely on the right track in supporting veterans' issues, but I only want to put that little bit of caution out there. That let's not make it so, spread it so thin that nobody gets any peanut butter. That's all.
Are there any questions? Comments? Thank you. Jerry Kaiser? Welcome, and state your name for the...
My name is Jerry Kaiser. I live in Roseville, Minnesota. I represent the United Veterans Legislative Council in the state of Minnesota. Right now we have over 38 member organizations that are veteran service organizations. And I'm also a disabled Vietnam veteran, combat veteran, and I think that this is an excellent bill. To address the gentleman's concern about the deleting this, there's 410,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. However, only a small portion of those are actually trying to in a business, and I don't think that would be a problem in the state. Like Dan said, Representative Stevenson said, there's 133 disabled veteran-owned companies in the state of Minnesota. Less than 15% of them would actually, you know, probably try to bid on a state of Minnesota contract, and that's not very many compared to the thousands of small businesses that are in the state of Minnesota. We support this. We believe that these men and women earned this. They came back from overseas, especially these young men and women coming back now. They just, as Dan said, don't have the networking that that others would have. And as a Vietnam veteran, we never had anything about anything. And these men and women earned this. And I, our motto in our organization is that never again will veterans be treated like we were. And I think this is a grand way to get this thing going and to make it right for the veterans of the state of Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions? Any other testifiers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to make a comment. Thank you for your service to all the testifiers. Greatly appreciated, and you have my support on the bill.
Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify?
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Pomeroy, and I represent Eagle Trucking, a trucking firm out of Forest Lake, Minnesota. And our firm is owned by 100% disabled Vietnam vets. And I'm here to say that we support this bill, not only for disabled vets, but for all vets in the state of Minnesota. And we believe that these men and women who are hard workers, intelligent, deserve every chance when they come back to get their business up and running or get it back to where it was before they left. And as they spoke of the numbers, just in my research alone, I found about 480 veteran-owned businesses in the state, about 140 to 150 service-disabled veteran-owned businesses listed in the state. So we're talking a pretty small number when you're looking at just veteran-owned businesses. And we just want to say we support it, and we hope to see it.
Are there any questions? If not, thank you.
Madam Chair, I move first to adopt the division report from the Veteran Affairs Division.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And then, Madam Chair, this is a slight change. I'm renewing my motion that the first committee engrossment, to be clear, on House File 557, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Finance.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for the vote.
Madam Chair?
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would move House File 1095 be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee on Civil Justice.
Madam Chair, do we just proceed?
Yes,
thank you, Madam Chair.
This
bill is just classifying as private or non-public data certain study participants or people who cooperate in studies, and also the location of their sites, so that we can better study the effects on natural resources, the environment, agricultural practices, etc., of the work of the Department of Agriculture. And many people refuse to participate if it's not known that they're not going to be public. They don't want their information public to everybody so that they can know what's going on their property. And so this is pretty much a necessary practice, and I don't know who this wouldn't be good for, because we're trying to help the environment, trying to help agricultural practices. And today we have one of the experts from the Ag Department here, and if there's any other questions, we have somebody from admin also.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm Bob Patton. I'm with Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I work in the Agricultural Development and Financial Assistance Division. And as Representative Mullery said, what this bill does is protect as private or non-public data that we collect on environmental assessments, environmental research, and there are a number of types of these projects that are listed in a fact sheet that you've been provided. I'll just go over those briefly. We conduct what's called FANMAP, a Farm Nutrient Management Assessment Program, and those are surveys or interviews that are conducted with farmers to understand what they're doing in terms of practices on their land, pesticide and fertilizer use, buffers, and so forth. And that data is used to improve our service delivery. We do monitoring of pesticides in wells. We have been conducting for the last year or so a livestock environmental quality assessment program. That's through the Minnesota Milk Producers and another private contractor. That is those are assessors that are going on to farms, looking at practices and making assessments. That helps, the data collection helps us, again, know what's going on farms, and also the farmers are getting immediate feedback on their facilities. And we've been conducting for many years research and demonstration projects with cooperators. We do work on cover crops, on conservation drainage, on managed grazing, and this is all with cooperating farmers. All these projects are with cooperating farmers, and it's very important to those farmers that their identities and locations are protected. That can, as Representative Mullery indicated, prevent their participation in the first place, and also it can affect how truthful they are in these interviews or other assessments. With that, I'll close and stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Representative Paul.
Sorry, thank you, Madam Chair. Currently, this information is all considered public information. If somebody does participate, somebody else could walk in and demand that information, you know, whatever information there is, and somebody can actually get that information. Is that correct?
Currently, we applied to IPAD, the information policy information policy division in admin for a temporary classification last year. So actually, currently the data is covered under a temporary classification that expires. But prior to that, yes.
Representative Olin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Okay, now go one step further. You said currently you got a temporary. What happens if this bill were not to pass?
If this bill were not to pass, the temporary classification expires this year, and then data collected for future projects could be accessed by the public. And this is data, again, on the identity and location.
Are there any other questions? Representative Hamilton? Okay. Representative Stelsky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question on 1.16. I'm curious as to why the exception was made for unique well numbers and location data for wells and springs. As you look at that, it might be fairly simple for someone to ascertain the rest of the data on the individual or the owner by simply cross-referencing that particular database. I'd be interested in maybe your comments on that.
Yes, Representative, thank you for your question. There are state-owned, MDA-owned wells that are on private land, and my understanding is that the data and unique well numbers are included in databases kept by the Department of Health. You'll see also the reference to Section 18B10. That's pertaining to wells that are on private wells on private land. That is already protected by that statute, and that's why it's excluded here.
Representative Faust? Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mullery, thank you for bringing this bill forward. Just a question to you. Is it your intent to keep this bill as is, and would you pull this bill if an amendment went on that the Department of Agriculture didn't agree with?
That's my intent. Well, Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, normally we roll all of these bills on Chapter 13 into the data practices bill, and then that comes forward. But I intend to fight any changes to this. I definitely oppose anything.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you,
Representative Olin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Mullery, the data practice bill is controlled by the Civil Law Committee.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Olin. Yes.
And that's a committee
you're on
that you and I are both on. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Stacey Christensen.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My name is Stacey Christensen. I'm the Acting Assistant Director of the Information Policy Analysis Division of the Department of Admin, which is where the Commissioner granted the temporary classification. I'm basically just here if anyone had any questions about the temporary classification. I don't really have anything else to add other than the temporary classification will expire on June 1st if the bill doesn't pass.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Christensen, how long has the temporary rule been in effect?
This specific
yes.
one?
Right.
I can give you the exact date. It was approved February 12th of 2008.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Owen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And Representative Mulry or the testifier can answer this one, but if this were to expire on June 1, actually we need an effective date upon passage. Is that not true? Otherwise we're going to have a two-month gap in present law.
Madam Chair, Representative Owen, I think you're right. We can do that in our committee.
Okay. I know you. Representative Aiken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this might be a question for somebody from the Ag Department, but I was wondering how difficult it has been to acquire the information necessary. Given the fact that this is temporary, I would assume that some of those that would be participating would still be concerned about the fact that it was temporary. So has it been difficult, even with the temporary policy in place, to get people to cooperate?
We are still able to get people to cooperate, although I hear from the researchers in our agency that there is a concern of farmers about this when they're being asked to cooperate.
Any other questions? Representative Morrow?
Madam Chair, I renew my motion that House File 1095 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Civil Justice.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
We're adjourned.